You get seated, would you? Take a copy of God's Word and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we're going to look at the first 9 verses of this text of Scripture as we continue in our series, Real Church, Real Church. And notice now, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. And we'll go down through verse number 9. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Keep your place there. I want to bring a message entitled, Real Giving. Real Giving. Well, let's pray together. Our gracious Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege of being able to look into your word, to hear what you have for us on this matter of real giving. We want to be a church that would please you. We want to be a church that is advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our community and beyond. And we want to be obedient to the message that you have for us from this passage of Scripture. What an example these churches of Macedonia were in their day and in our day as well. So help us to be obedient to the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. On the Sunday that a church was supposed to be making their giving contributions, the organist fell sick, so a substitute was brought in. The pastor gave her a schedule of the service and asked her to think of something to play during the commitment time. At the scheduled time in the service, the pastor said, "I want anyone who is committing $1,000 to the building fund to stand up." The organist immediately began to play the Star Spangled Banner. And by the way, that is how that substitute organist became the full-time organist. When we think about the matter of giving to the Lord, our giving should not be based on trickery or coercion, but from a passionate heart moved by God's grace. This was the way the believers in the churches of Macedonia had given to the Lord. They were so overwhelmed with the grace of God that they gave from that passionate heart. The Apostle Paul faced many challenges in his day, and one of those was to take up special offerings for the many needs of the early church. And here he is writing his second letter to the church at Corinth. And Corinth was known for its riches, just the city of Corinth. And yet here was a church that he wanted them, according to verse number 7, to grow in the grace of giving. Because you see, just because you have a lot, or even if you just have enough, it doesn't mean that you automatically have entered into the grace of giving. Because again, here was a church that was living in a very rich area, but yet Paul says, you need to learn to abound in this grace also. You are wise, you're growing in judgment, you're growing in faith, but he says, you need to abound in the joy and you need to abound in the grace of giving. So while Paul was on his third missionary journey, he wrote 2 Corinthians and made reference to the grace of the believers in Macedonia, which today, by the way, is modern-day northern Greece. That's where these churches of Macedonia were located. So with that, I want you to notice with me three characteristics of real grace giving. Would you notice, first of all, that real grace giving is sacrificial? We see this in the first four verses. These Macedonian churches in northern Greece were financially destitute. And there were reasons for that. One, because at the time they were pilgrims that were had come to Jerusalem to worship and got saved and never returned to their home. So now they have no job and no home. Another reason was they were being persecuted. Then another reason that the Roman Empire at that time definitely was in the dumper. And so here in the context of Scripture, we find in verse number 1, he says, I want you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So who were these churches of Macedonia? Go with me, if you would, first of all, to the church at Philippi. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and note verse 14 through 16. He says something here about this church at Philippi, and he says in verse number 14 down through verse number 16 something about their state. Notice what he says. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift. In other words, not that I want your money, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And so here we see that this was something about this church at Philippi. Notice, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Another church in the Macedonia region. And we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, he writes this. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea and in Christ and are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Now chapter 3, verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So here are just two of the churches in Macedonia, but there is reference being made that both of them had encountered some great trial of affliction, as he writes back here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and or 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. So their trouble prompted more trust in God, not less. How about us when we go into trouble? Does our trust in God increase or decrease? For them, their trust in God, even though they were going through persecution, even though they had no jobs, no homes, and even though their economy in that time was in the dumper, we find that they were trusting God even more in those times. But then it says also that their great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty. Deep poverty. Their poverty prompted their hearts to be turned toward God and others. In other words, they did not become tight-fisted when things got tight. When things got tight, they opened up their hands even more. Their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Their poverty had led to greater giving. So when we think about that, we think about how that they had sacrificed by faith. Because verse 3 says, note this, "For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They sacrificed by faith. They gave what they had to their power. But then they gave beyond their power. They gave what they had but wanted to do more. So they had prayed and asked God to give them the ability to do that. And God had answered their prayer, even in the midst of their deep poverty. For to their power, and yea, beyond their power. And to give beyond your power or ability can only be done with supernatural help. They had sacrificed by faith. But then they had sacrificed enthusiastically. Because look at verse number 4, "praying us with much entreaty." That isn't meaning that they were praying to Paul. It is a word that means that they were asking, yea, begging, praying us with much entreaty that they would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And you know, church, you know it's grace when God's people ask to give instead of being begged to give. That's grace. That's grace operating in your life. When you are not, if you would, coerced to give, when you're not being begged to give, but because of God's amazing grace, and the more you understand it, the more you appreciate it, and the more you open up your hand and you give unto the Lord. That was true of these believers here. They sacrificed enthusiastically. They just asked Paul with great urgency, "Paul, would you please take the gift?" Again, they weren't being begged. They were being asked. You know, it just surprises pastors when people come to them and say, "Pastor, I've come up against some money. Do you think it'd be a good idea that I give that to the church?" "Oh yeah, let me pray about that." No. Sure, it's a good thing to give that to the church. I think about a lady's husband who had just had heart surgery, and she had received a letter saying that her husband inherited $1 million. She worried about her husband's health, so she called her pastor and asked him to tell the good news to her husband. Well, the pastor said to the husband, "Joe, if you were to have $1 million, what would you do?" Joe said, "Why, pastor, I'd give it to you." And the pastor died of a heart attack. My heart's good, so if you come and tell me you got $1 million to give to the Lord, it might race a little bit, but I think we should be all right. You know, the grace of God, though, it opens up your hearts and it opens up your hands. Take your hand right now, I don't care if it's your left hand or your right hand, and just make it into a fist. Now squeeze as hard as you can. Now open it. Doesn't that feel better? Sure it does. And the churches of Macedonia, they didn't have clenched fists. They weren't tight wads. They were open-handed. Even in the midst of their poverty, they had open hands and they said, "Lord, thank you for blessing us. We realize that it has come from you, and now we want to be a blessing to someone else." Truthfully, on one hand, that doesn't make sense. I mean, here's people that's destitute. And you would think if they got anything that they would want to keep it to themselves. No, just the opposite. They take it and they give. They receive and they give. They receive and they give. Obviously, Paul had taught them what Jesus taught in the book of Acts. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so here we see that this was a church that had practiced real grace giving that was sacrificial. But then notice with me, if you would, their real grace giving was sincere. Look at verse number 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So to show their sincerity, first of all, we see that they had surrendered themselves first. They had given themselves first of all to the Lord. Be careful about making statements like, boy, if I just win the lottery, I'm going to really begin to tithe. I'm really, Pastor, I've had one person years ago come up to, if I win the lottery, Pastor, I'll guarantee you the building will be built. Well, the building's not built. Obviously, they haven't won the lottery yet. Or if they have, they're not sharing it. But you know, that's not on the basis of giving that God's people ought to look at it. They, first of all, gave themselves to whom? They gave themselves to the Lord. This was a sincere move on their part. They were saying, Lord, you have blessed us. Lord, we give ourselves to you. Because I think they understood something, that as God had their heart, God had their money. God had their heart, God had their money, so it wasn't any big deal to, as God prospered them, they just dished it back out. They helped Paul. They were begging, Paul, would you just take the gift? Again, they were showing the sincerity of their love. They were proving their love here in verse number 7 and verse number 8. He is challenging this Corinthian church to abound in this grace also. Hey, I wonder this morning in your life, do you need to abound in the grace of giving? Do you need to abound in the grace of giving? You know, one of the sore spots with people when they come to church. In fact, you know why some people aren't in church today? I'm not talking about people related to our church. I'm just generally making a statement because I've run into a few of these people. I don't come to church because all you do is beg for money. Now, that's sad because those same kind of people, you'll find them giving to all other kinds of charities. They'll respond to the letters coming in the mail. They'll respond to that starving child in Africa and so forth. And, well, but not in church. Preachers can't preach about giving. Well, if you would have trouble with preachers preaching about giving, then you would have trouble with Jesus. Because Jesus often talked about the issue of money, because he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And here was an early church here. Here was these churches of Macedonia. Yes, times were destitute. Yes, times were difficult. But that didn't prevent them from giving. It was abounding under their liberality. They just had a giving spirit about them because real grace giving is sincere. You see, we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. One preacher said, and I quote, I've heard people say I'd give more if I had more. He goes on and says, I don't believe that. Giving is not a matter of what you have, it's a function of the heart. Devout believers don't need more. They don't wait for more. They give from their poverty like the widow Jesus saw who gave everything. She gave her two mites. It is not an issue of how much you have. That has nothing to do with it. It is an issue of the heart. How much you have is not the issue. Generosity is a heart issue that gives no matter how little. I think about that. In just a couple of weeks, we as a church body are going to be challenged, one, to have a greater heart for missionaries and a greater heart for the people of the world. But in that missionary conference as well, we are going to be challenged to consider about this matter of our faith promise giving. What will I give to the cause of missions? Above and beyond my tithe, what will I give to the cause of missions? Because I know you understand this morning that missionaries can't be where they are and can't go where they want to go, with one, without the prayers of God's people, but two, without the giving of God's people. I think about Sister Carol here with the Women and Teen Center and how they have set a record with the baby bottle boomerang this year, over 17,000, right? Now, that may not sound a lot to you, but that is a lot of money to that ministry. Now, where did that come from? From people like you and me, churches out throughout this state who support that ministry? We pray for them, yes. But we give. And so in this next year, you're going to be challenged here in a couple of weeks to consider, what will I give to the cause of worldwide missions? And sometimes we will look at our budget and say, well, I don't have any room to give anymore. But there's a reason why it's called faith promise giving. So, well, I don't want to be stupid about it, Pastor, but if God leads you to give, listen, you obey God. Don't obey your budget, obey God. So, well, that's not wise counsel. I'm saying if God is moving in your heart to give X amount to missions above and beyond your tithe, obey God, not your budget. There are people in this congregation this morning who could give testimony of how that on paper it didn't make sense to obey God and give more than they gave last year, but they do it, and they've watched God provide. They never came up short. And I'm challenging all of us this morning to consider this, to prove the sincerity of our love. It's one thing to say, I love souls. It's one thing to say, I love God. These people put their words to action. They gave, they proved the sincerity of their love. He's saying, I want you to abound in this grace also. So real giving is sacrificial. Real giving is sincere. Real giving is substitutional. Look at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You see, these people gave for people they had never seen. Most of us do that. You realize that. When you give to missions already, you are giving to people, if you would, that you will never see. You will read the reports our missionaries send us. You will pray with them with the request they send us. But unless you go to the mission field, you're not going to meet those individuals. But in eternity, one day, you will meet them. And you'll be able to rejoice knowing that here is someone that I had a part in seeing them come to Jesus through my prayers and through my giving. And here in this context, these people gave for people they had never seen. Their dire circumstances had no negative effect on their giving. Now with that in mind, he lifts up the Lord Jesus. It's interesting because here he'll continue to talk about giving in the rest of chapter 8 and the rest of chapter 9. But it's almost like he just takes a pause and says, here's what I want you to look at. I want you to look at Jesus. Well, he's a good one to look at because he says here in verse number 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about grace giving, just look at Jesus. Though he was rich, he became poor. That is, he took upon him the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He is saying, you want to talk about someone who left the riches. Christ gave himself personally. God became flesh. He became poor. Look in Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 5 through verse number 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, here he is saying to us, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is how Christ gave himself personally. That he left heaven's glory. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. For what purpose? Go back to our main text. That ye, through his poverty, might be rich. In other words, Jesus gave himself not only personally, he gave himself willingly. Grace-giving is willing-giving. Jesus did not, he was not forced to lay down his life. He willingly laid down his life. And so he is lifting up Jesus as an example of this matter of real grace giving is substitutional. Jesus gave his all. Jesus laid down his life. He did it willingly. He was not coerced. Yes, he was beaten. Yes, he went through all of that for us so that we might be rich. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm rich. I know you don't believe it, but you are rich. You are rich spiritually. The one missions trip I went on was over to Romania. And to this day, I'm still moved by the simplicity of their faith. They had just come out of the rule of a cruel dictator. The people rose up. They had enough. This man was killed. I was to the place where he was killed. I was at the place where the uprising had taken place. But one of the things that moved me was the simplicity of their faith. You see, they didn't have much. In fact, most of the meals I had there were just simple sausage and bread. And if I, quote, had cereal, it was not cold milk. They didn't, at that time, have much refrigeration. I'm talking about Romania at that time was a very poor country. And yet, I had the privilege of meeting many, many saints in those churches who had smiles on their faces. They had the joy of the Lord. And common custom in that day, probably still is that when the women came into church, they would wear these scarves. And another custom was that the men would sit on one side of the auditorium and the ladies would sit on the other. That was very different. But I tell you, I walked away seeing people who had a very simple faith. They didn't have much. But I saw them under the one of the men that we supported at one time, Brother Ed Embry, who started a church, started a college, started an orphanage. All of that is still going to this day, though he is no longer there. But we had the privilege of coming alongside him and seeing. I had the privilege of preaching in that church. And they gave. In fact, Brother Ed didn't want much money from American churches. He said, because these people will rely on American money. He says, so I'm trying to teach my people, even though they don't have much, that if they will just give, God will bless. And you know, if you were to go over there today, you would see a nice building. I'm not talking about some great elaborate building, but I'm talking a nice building, a nice college and so forth, that those people were able to give out of what they had. They gave it unto the Lord. I'm telling you, Where'd they learn that? Yes, one, Brother Ed had trained them, but Brother Ed trained them through the scripture that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. And this morning, we are rich. We're rich because Jesus, and because of him and his grace in our life. You may not have a big bank account, but I'm telling you, scripturally, you are rich. If you want to know how rich you are, just read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. You will see how rich you are in Christ Jesus. But that's all possible because of the grace of God. Well, that same grace then does something else to us. It enables us to willingly give. This salvation that cost us nothing cost him everything. But that salvation should motivate our giving. There are three ways to give. One, because you have to. That's how you give, that's law. There's another way to give. Well, I ought to. That's obligation. I'm obligated to give. Or there's a third way, and I think this is the best way to give. Because you want to. Because you want to give motivated by the grace of God. Where the preacher or preachers are not begging you to give, but they are just showing you how rich you are in Jesus Christ. And how that as you understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, then it will touch your giving as well. So when you think about God's grace that has richly been extended toward you, and as you grow in grace, grow in this grace of giving. You newer Christians, grow in the grace of giving. Don't hold back on God. Trust Him. He will provide. He will. And this church, not just this church, but the churches of Macedonia, just love to give. They enjoyed to give. And thank God today how that many of you practice tithing and giving to missions. So while you may think I've just preached to the choir, the challenge to those of us that do tithe and we give to missions is to consider, what, God, can I do more for the cause of missions, reaching lost souls for Jesus Christ? What can I do? God will lead you. God will guide you, motivated by His grace. There was a young boy who sat in church and watched as the offering plate was being passed. He just watched that offering plate go down row by row. And while that offering plate was going down row by row, he digged into his pockets and he wanted to be able to drop something in the offering plate. But to his dismay, there was nothing in his pockets that he could put in that offering plate. So when that usher handed that plate down his aisle, when it got to him, that little boy took that offering plate, put it down on the ground, and he stood in that offering plate. You see, he didn't realize it, but he was practicing what those churches of Macedonia practiced. That they, first of all, gave themselves to the Lord. Have you given yourself to the Lord? In your life as a Christian, in a moment we'll stand and we'll sing together, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Let me ask you, Christian, are you this way or are you this way? A person that is this way is a Christian who hasn't learned to give themselves first to the Lord. But if you're this way, you're a person that has learned, I give myself first of all to the Lord. It's His money. Every dime I earn, it's His money. Every bit of it. Whatever I have in my 401k, it doesn't matter. It all belongs to the Lord. He's given me the ability to have that. Therefore, I give myself to the Lord. Now, Lord, how can I serve you? Through my giving. Have you given yourself to the Lord? That's where real grace giving begins. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How I thank you, Father, this morning for challenging even my own heart throughout this week as I have had opportunity to be in your word and let it speak to my own heart first. Thank you for the challenges. Thank you for the conviction. Thank you for what you have taught me and are teaching me. And Father, I would trust this morning that as people have heard your word, that they will consider, have I really given myself? Have I, so to speak, put myself first in the offering plate? Have I given all to my Lord? May they consider that. And this morning in their life, if there's some areas that they have just been wrestling with you on, they've just been holding back on this area of surrender to you, may they today say, you know, today's the day I surrender all to Jesus. For that precious soul that knows not the Savior, the one who gave himself for us, so that we could have a way of salvation, the hope of eternal life. May they today come to know Jesus as their Savior. Work in hearts, Father, is my prayer.